7 p.m.
Okay, welcome everybody. We need to do a roll call for Marilyn.
Did you start that?
I did, yeah. So we're recording two devices.
You can record it there too.
Yeah, did it not start?
Marilyn?
Recording started, yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, do I have a pen? Yes. Am I starting?
Did you want to take attendance? Or have you got attendance? Or at least put on the record who's here.
Okay, so I have Stuart Williams, Will Carlson, Jeff Newman, Ed Montgomery, Jeff Gray, Stephen Foote, Dan Burton, UPC staff. I won't go through that whole list. Randall McEwen, Sven Barr, Karen Walker. Anyone I missed?
Who's Sven?
Rob Van Dyke.
Oh,
Rob, you're on. Great, thank you.
Is Sven your guy?
He's our legislative intern, yep.
Oh, cool. Welcome, Sven. And Jeff, this is his first meeting, so welcome, Jeff. Jeff Gray.
You're looking right at me.
Okay.
Thank you.
The minutes from the previous meeting, has everybody had an opportunity to review those? Is there a motion to adopt?
So we have three different ones.
Yeah.
We have September 13th, November 7th, and November 30th.
Yeah, so September 13th was the last regularly scheduled council meeting. November 7th was the salary incentive awards meeting, and November 30th was the meeting to approve Region 2's nomination of Jeff Gray to replace Ryan Peters. So those are those three different meetings.
I move to approve the November 7th minutes.
Okay, Will.
And second?
I'll second that.
I'll move to approve the other two.
Second.
You're making Marilyn earn her salary.
And Will?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Got it.
Okay.
Those four?
Yep.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
Welcome Jeff Gray. Thank you. We still have one OMPA seat to fill. We have been talking about it. I don't know if, especially our city folks, if there's anybody that you are interested in nominating, but we still have one seat to fill. Do you want us as a staff just to kind of keep exploring that and then bring it to you all, or do you want to talk about which city prosecutor you would like to serve on the council? I mean, because we have a suggestion, so.
Who do you guys suggest?
Well, we're thinking of Jake Summers from Orem. He's sort of in your both, where you're not actively prosecuting cases, but they're overseeing the prosecution. Jake's has been an OMPA president in the past, has been involved heavily in the past. We were trying to think of a female prosecutor, but the names that we thought of either are part-time or like are brand new, that don't have a lot of experience, because and it's just a factor of the demographics of the state and who prosecutes is, you know, we're a heavily male body, and we would like to have some diversity, but we don't want to do diversity just for diversity's sake. So that's the name that we've been thinking about is Jake Summers from Orem.
Another guy, Matt Brooks from Harriman, might be worth taking a look at. Matt Brooks.
Do you know him at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Younger guy, full-time prosecutor, switched on, doesn't have the experience that Jake does, but young, motivated, good.
Okay.
I could throw up Bree Brass. I don't think she's line prosecuting now, but she's over. She's her title as a deputy city attorney. But she's.
And where did she go to?
She's in South Salt Lake.
South Salt Lake, that's right.
She might kick me, but.
Okay.
And technically, isn't this an OMPA?
It is.
nomination?
Yeah.
Doesn't their board nominate this person?
Well, they do. I just didn't know if we wanted to, you know,
get
some feelers, right? But yes, we will need to go to the OMPA leadership for their final nomination. So thank you for clarifying that. Okay, then as that's it, I guess, in terms of council membership. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to bring a name and probably just have another meeting to vote on OMPA's nomination. Okay, that must just be an email coming in. Okay, budget review. Any questions on the budget? I think we're gonna be in a good situation. We did receive, as it says in here, a $16,000 mini grant from NAPC to help defray the costs of train the trainer, but I'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the training aspect. Budget, I think we're still, as it shows, we're going to have probably an $80,000 carryover, but I think that's conservatively low. But yeah, unless there's any questions, that's all there in the budget.
Legislative session.
Okay. The only thing that's affecting the council this session really is just the governor's budget. Or at least I'm not aware yet. Are there any legislators that are going to tap UPC for training responsibilities? If there are, I don't know yet. Jeff, have you heard anything?
Will? I haven't heard anything.
Dan, haven't heard anything either? Yeah. So the only thing that is happening is the governor's budget. And this is what has come out, is the November revenues were less than what they were projected, and so state employees, instead of getting a 3.5% COLA, are looking at a 2.3%. That doesn't affect our budget. We would get the increase in our budget, so it's not like that's going to be a deficit on our budget. The governor's budget does have a line item for domestic violence resource prosecutor that we've been talking about needing for a while, and what's budgeted there currently is the $233,200. The EOCJ meets preliminarily on Wednesday afternoon, and so I follow the Attorney General presenting their budget, so I've got 10 minutes to talk about our budgetary needs, but...
And this is just the chair, right? This is
yeah.
The whole committee.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I... Thank you. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, it's not the full committee. So at least we're starting to get the word out there. I'm hopeful. Do you think, Dan, that we're going to have any problems with that?
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, okay. So hopefully, by the end of the session, we will know whether or not we're able to hire a DV resource prosecutor and split Trent's responsibilities in two. Because as I've reported, frankly, DV has, and it's not intentional, but an emphasis on DV across the state has just fallen because Marlise and Trent just don't have that time to focus on the domestic violence with all the required training they have to do on the trauma. I had asked, the AG put in their budget for us funding for a full-time secretary. That was not included. However, if you recall last year when the appropriation was made to UPC, the fiscal analyst incorrectly calculated the number of employees that we had, and we received an additional $90,000. When I talked about this last year, it was my understanding per Scott Meekum, our chief financial officer in the office, that the legislature was going to, his term is, clawed back. They haven't done that, and so far in this budget, they haven't done that either. So we have an extra $90,000 in ongoing funds, and so what Scott's recommendation is that could be used to fund a secretary. I don't know that it would fund a full-time secretary, but it's certainly a half-time secretary and possibly even a three-quarter-time secretary. Plus, with the carryover that we get, we may have enough for a full-time secretary. I just need to wait and see how things fall out. And so the reality is if we have that $90,000 carryover, we may not have to wait until July to either hire a secretary or hire a new DV resource prosecutor. My recommendation and my plan would be is to hire the secretary before the resource prosecutor, just because Maryland is swamped. State auditors have implemented, I don't know if they're new policies or policies that we haven't been following that we need to follow now. And so her workload, I don't know that it's doubled. Is it doubled, Marilyn?
Yeah, it's close. It's more complicated.
And so that's really where we need the assistance. And again, we've talked about this before, and I think we have, you know, the council's approval. I just need to wait and see what the final numbers are going to be after the session. So by next council meeting, we could have a secretary with us as well. And then in July, another prosecutor. So.
And there's going to be a whole new way of doing travel. It's going to be all online. It's a totally different system than what we're doing now.
More complicated, less complicated.
More complicated. Even finance is telling me that it's going to be a nightmare. So get ready.
And not that the finance staff at the AG's office has any sway over the legislature, but they're fully supportive of us getting additional help, just because they recognize, you know, the increased amount of work that Marilyn's been having to do on top of everything else that she was already doing. So. So that's all I'm aware of in terms of the legislature for as it affects UPC.
I had a question.
Yeah.
And I hate to ask, it feels like ever since I've been here, we've talked about salaries and raises at every meeting. But
that's okay.
With the 2.3 COLA, I don't know how that works at the AG's office. Is that, you get that plus a merit increase?
Well,
or is that, how does that work?
So everybody's going to get the COLA, the 2.3%. Yeah. And then the additional funds that I've referenced, this is right out of Scott Meekham's email to the office. It sounds like there's going to be a pool of money that the AG's office will be able to use to determine merit increases. And I don't know if that's going to be everybody, if it's going to be secretarial staff because they didn't get a raise last year. I don't know any more than that. Dan, have you heard anything
more? No, this is news to me. I don't know that.
Oh, you didn't see the email from Scott?
No. Was this recent or?
Okay, no, this actually came out the 1st of December. Hmm. I'll forward it to you.
Okay.
Well, actually, I've got it right here. I mean, this is here. Okay, let's see.
There might be one person in the lobby.
Oh, thank you. Oh, this mouse doesn't move.
Click on the people icon where they've got the red one.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Oh, Randall's back. Okay. Okay. So this is what he said is the. He's also recommending a 2.3% COLA for all state employees plus funding for performance-based salary increases. That amount for the AG's office is $500,000 to be distributed at the office's discretion. So that's at this point. That's all I know.
Okay. So there will. Well, there could be.
There could be. Yeah.
I didn't know procedurally how that worked. Some places merge those two together.
I think procedurally how that would work is there's a, I'm not sure what the committee is called, the salary committee, or is it part of the executive committee that determines salary?
Whatever they fund, they usually just distribute based on the algorithm, the calculation for all employees.
Yeah.
Does that apply to you guys?
It did last time.
I think so, yeah, usually.
It applied to the attorneys last time, because remember last year it was only the attorneys, because they were bleeding legal staff. So I don't know, again, if they will try to compensate support staff. I would hope that we would be included in that conversation, but I guess that will remain to be seen.
And then if not, obviously let us know. And
right.
I think the simple thing to look at this year is there's not a lot of budget money statewide, and the 2.3% is probably the base of what is going to get passed. The legislature will do that just to keep up with inflation, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And that'll go towards all state employees.
Okay.
So this is what's in the governor's budget right now, not what's been passed yet.
Right.
Correct, yeah.
But
yeah.
Usually this legislature will do the COLA. Right.
And if the chairs of the EOC on Wednesday, if they have any questions or concerns, I'll certainly let you all know. But